Welcome to Between Two Wetlands, the Village of Swamico podcast where we take a closer look at the projects and people shaping our community. I'm your host and Village Administrator, Alex Caker, and each episode we'll share the stories and details behind the decisions that impact all of us. On today's podcast, I'm joined by Public Works Director Andy Smits, where we discuss the ongoing water infrastructure projects. Please visit our website at swamico.org to learn more and for access to the materials we discussed today. Enjoy. Well, welcome, Andy, to the podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the public water infrastructure project. We've done some interviews with some news stations, and I think more of the public is becoming aware of what's going on. But we want to get into a little bit more detail as to the why we're doing the project and what it means for our residents. So before we get too far into it, though, why don't we give yourself an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners and let them know why should they be listening to you on this topic?
All right. Well, my name is Andy Smits. I'm the Director of Public Works here for the Village. I have been part of the public works and utility industry since 2012. I graduated just before that from University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, where I focused on resource management and business administration. I started here at the Village in 2014 as the assistant director, and then in 2017 I took over as director.
And really, since even 2017, we've been talking about this need for added capacity for our water utility. But why don't you talk a little bit about, at a higher level, what this project will all entail?
Yeah, this project has been, maybe not the project specifically, but you know, details around the need for water has been talked about since my first day here. It's been a conversation that's been ongoing for a long time. But this project at a higher level and what it includes, it'll include a high-capacity municipal well, a water treatment facility that'll include the treatment for the, you know, the radionuclides that we have here in our groundwater at two of our wells here in the Village. And then it will include a storage option, and the storage option that we have settled on is a water tower.
All right, so let's get a little bit further into the details. This project, you guys were looking, several studies were done on this. Can you talk about what those studies were and what was the intent behind the studies?
Several studies were done that focused on, you know, where the Village is expected to be in that 10, 15, 20, and, you know, even beyond that outlook. Back in 2005 was really the first, like, really in-depth needs assessment that was conducted here for the Village. And that study focused on, you know, growth projections at that time. In 2005, it was just after the Village incorporated, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And growth projections were crazy, and there was a lot of aggressive developers coming to Swamico. And, you know, at that time, they already recognized that, you know, in years to come, that we're going to be looking at a capacity issue here. So after 2012, the, you know, we had kind of the recession and things slowed down, and it kind of took the pressure off, I would say, the need for capacity at that time, because those growth projections, you know, kind of plateaued. But then in 2017, well number two exceeded its fourth quarter of high radium. So you can have a four-quarter average of the maximum contaminant limit, which is 5 picocuries per liter. So as long as you keep your four-quarter average below that 5, the DNR will allow you to operate that well. But we exceeded that in November of 2017, so that, you know, removed one of our sources of water here for the Village. Well 2 is a low-capacity well, only at about 225 gallons a minute, but that helped when, you know, one of your other two largest wells were taken offline. So that kind of put some urgency on, you know, hey, we need to get this conversation going again about capacity here, because now with one of your two wells offline, we were not meeting our maximum day demand. 4 out of the last 10 years, I think it was, we actually pumped more, we pumped more than what our maximum day demand could actually hold. You know, that included water that we already had in our tower, so that kind of made up that gap. But, you know, it put some urgency on it, and that really is kind of when the Public Works Utility Commission started really getting serious, and we had some consultants back in the room and started, you know, inviting these new reports. So then we had a report or a study done in 2015, 2017, I think we had another one conducted, and then in 2021 to kind of finalize, you know, where we're at, what we need, and you know, what this village sees that we need for capacity here in a few years.
And you talked a lot about capacity. Can you just give some of our listeners who maybe aren't as involved in water utilities, what do you mean by capacity?
So we are limited based on how much that well can produce at a given time, right? So everything is based on your total pumping capacity. And right now, with then the way you handle your total capacity is by removing your largest well. You know, take your largest well offline due to maintenance or whatever, and that's what you're left with. So both of our two wells that we have left now are both 500 gallon per minute wells. So our total capacity for the day is 720,000 gallons a minute. That's the maximum pumping capacity we can put out. So using that amount of gallons plus what's in our tower is what we have to work with. So say a large fire happens and we draw, you know, 800,000-900,000 gallons a day for that fire, that's going to put us, you know, in the red, and we don't have enough water to keep up with that demand. So that's where that kind of comes into effect on your fire protection and your total capacity that you have. You know, we tried, you know, looking at other options with well 3 and well 4, which are both 500 gallon a minute wells. We test pumped well 3 in 2018 or 19, trying to see if we could increase that capacity. And we started pumping a lot of sand, so we knew that borehole or where that well is, it just wasn't a good fit. There was too much sand down in that aquifer, and it wasn't a good fit without spending a lot of additional money and putting in like a sand filtration system. Really wasn't room in the building for it, so we kind of ruled that out. We did also look at well 2. We rehabbed well 2 after it exceeded its fourth quarter of radium. And we did what we call an acid flush, and we brushed it, and we tried to get all the biofilm. So it looks like kind of like an algae growth, but it's considered biofilm down in that well. And it's been led to believe that some of that, you know, adds to your levels of radium. So we tried to clean it, we brushed it, acid flushed it, pumped it, and still found that we just couldn't get that level back down. So we kind of, you know, eliminated well 2 from rehab and improvement. Really, again, no facility for treatment there. It's just a very small building. So it would have took a lot of money for, you know, a little bit of reward in the end. You wouldn't have got the outcome that you need out of that investment. So same with well 3, and well 4 is already limited by the softening equipment that's out there. So, you know, really there's no opportunity to increase that well unless you really spend a lot of money for that. So that kind of left us with the decision of looking either A, at a new well, or B, sourcing our water from an outside, you know, Central Brown County Water Authority or a Green Bay Water Utility.
So I want to step back a little bit. You talked about that kind of a metric of, hey, if your largest well is offline and you have your largest peak day demand, you're in the red, so to speak. Well, what does that mean? What would happen if that scenario actually occurred? We had a large fire in the village, and you had the need for more water than you just didn't have it. What happens then?
So that means our system is depleted of water and pressure. So you'll notice, you know, at your house, you turn that faucet on, and you just don't have any water. You may get a little trickle coming out, but basically our system would be depleted of water and we wouldn't be able to keep up. There may be a small, you have some flow and some pressure in there, but once it dips below 25 PSI, you know, you're operating at a non-compliance level. So the DNR requires pressure, a minimum pressure of 25. And if it goes below that, you have to do a boil water advisory because there's a risk of contaminants then with air exposure in your system when it's not pressurized by water. So our water's treated. So we do we inject chlorine to it at the well facilities. So, you know, that chlorine keeps, you know, all of your bacteria and everything else in check and out of your water system. But once you introduce air, you know, that changes the dynamic of what your water's doing.
So there is a very clear public health and safety issue if we do run out of capacity.
Correct.
That's
yep.
The point I wanted to make is that we really don't have the option of doing nothing. We know that today we need more capacity, and we just need to figure out how to make that happen.
Yep.
So in determining how to make that happen, there was, you mentioned briefly the Public Works and Utility Commission. Can you talk about their role in assisting the village board in coming up with the decision on how to exactly handle this issue?
Yeah, so the Public Works and Utility Commission, and since I'd say since 2015, you know, they really got involved with the initial study that was provided to the village. They work close with the consultants. Consultants come to those Public Works Utility Commission meetings. And, you know, we had joint meetings with the village board as well along the way. But the committee really vets through these reports, and they, you know, check the analysis and the reports, and they, you know, make sure everything aligns and that, you know, it fits the objectives of what we want to see here as we grow and as we need more water. You know, the end goal that the Public Works and Utility Commission had was to make sure that whatever direction we went, whether it's a new well or sourcing water from an outside source, you know, is that we provide a good quality of water, we have a reliable source, and that we control and maintain the rates.
Choosing the capacity was one of the first steps, and once it was decided that we would maintain control and we'd have an additional well, mm-hmm. you can't just pull water out of the ground and start drinking it. You have to treat it. There are certain chemicals, that minerals that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And so what does that process look like? What different options were out there for the village to go with, and what did they ultimately decide to go with?
So the village could have went with Essential Brown County or Green Bay Water Utility. Those were the two other sources that you could purchase from. Both surface water options, so, you know, the water is naturally a little softer. But when, you know, we made the decision to stay on our well, you know, that adds a little more complexity to it because of all the minerals and everything that we see in our groundwater here and in the aquifer, you know, that we pull our water from. The biggest one that we have here in this in the village is radionuclides. So no matter what, no matter where the well went, you know, we felt like it was going to probably face, you know, some treatment options. And sure enough, where we decided to, you know, place this well, it was high when we did the test well for radionuclides. So we're planning for treatment for that. And the treatment options that are for that is either an HMO, which is a hydrous manganese oxide treatment, or an ion exchange treatment to remove those radionuclides. Ion exchange is very similar to your in-home softener. It's basically just that on a larger scale. You know, most people have softeners here in the village, whether they're on well water or our water or on their own private wells. You know, it just takes away some of the minerals and makes the water a little less, you know, hard, and helps, you know, with everything from your shower to your sink to drinking it. You just don't notice that scaly effect. But the hydrous manganese oxide is a process that's a little bit newer technology than the ion exchange. And, you know, we felt that would be the best option to move forward with at this time is the HMO.
Okay. And then you pull the water out of the ground, you treat it, you got to put it somewhere. So what were some of the options available to us for storage?
Yeah, so the two options that we looked at here, one is the elevated tank or the water tower, and the other is what's called a ground storage reservoir. And both have pros and cons. The ground storage reservoir is a little cheaper initially to build because it's just, you know, you're not constructing all that steel and everything, you know, vertically. But the disadvantage of the ground storage reservoir was it would have been smaller and volume, so you wouldn't have had the you know, the storage capacity that at some day we'll likely need a full tower over at that area. It would probably have been like around 100,000 gallons of storage versus the 300,000 that we're getting out of the tower. But then you're also relying on mechanical pumping 24/7. So even at night when there's low flow, low volume of water being drawn, you know, you still have to have a pump running. So you'd have series of pumps. So there'd be like three pumps in a row to make sure you always had that redundancy that if one pump goes out, you got a backup. And normally they're sized so that you have one pump that runs on a low volume, a medium-sized pump to run on a medium volume, and then a large one if there was a fire and they needed a lot of water fast, that would kick in too. So a lot of mechanical parts with a ground storage reservoir, you know, which is a disadvantage, you know, as opposed to you build a water tower, you pump it right out of the facility up into that tank, and now you got it for 24 hours or however long it's up there. So then the water tower is, you know, it's a little more expensive up front, but, you know, long term, the reliability of that water stored, you know, in the air and using gravity, it was definitely a big point for why the committee wanted to go that route.
With the tower going up, is that going to have any benefits other than just storing the water that we're pulling out of the ground?
Yeah, it'll have a lot of benefit, actually. Especially if you live over in the Whisper Ridge subdivision or the Bayport Heights area, Some of those homes over in that area are on our lower end of our current pressure zone. So right now the current water tower services everything in the village. So as you get west and further away from that tower and in higher elevation, your pressure declines. And we have a couple houses over there that are in the, you know, the upper 30s, low 40s. And, you know, they notice it. You know, we get a call here and there about what we can do or how we could improve their pressure, especially if they have a two-story home over in that area. You know, as you go up, your pressure is going to decline in elevation. So this, what we intend to do here with this new tower is we're going to actually create a two-zone pressure system. So we'll have a pressure relief station put in on Moose Creek Trail, just east of Van Hoof a little ways, and then we'll have one more put over by the dentist office where our water main goes down Lineville Road. So that'll create a new pressure zone from those two points west, increasing the pressure over everything that's west of the school. And then also this gives us the ability to serve all the vacant land going west down M, you know, and behind our site here. You know, there's about 40 acres there that, you know, is looking to be developed. And without that additional pressure, we could never service that area before because of the elevation change that goes, you know, to the west. So yeah, everybody over in that corner should see an increase in pressure, which is a benefit. And everybody else's pressure that's on the existing system should stay about the same because we don't plan to change our current tower, you know, elevation at all. So they shouldn't notice a whole lot of difference there, but definitely a benefit out to the west.
All right, well, something that I think our listeners will really be paying attention to is how does this impact them financially?
Yep.
And just, we know that our current projection is around $9.5 million for this project in totality. The loan will be taken out to pay for it up front, but how is that loan going to be paid off?
So the way we have it set up right now is we have it 60% rate base funded and 40% impact fee funded. So that means 60% of this $9.5 million will come out of rate-based and rate payers, you know, within the utility. 40% will be from new connections or new homes and, you know, added connections to our system. Doesn't necessarily mean a new home, but so 40% of the project is anticipated to be paid for by impact fees, which has worked well for, you know, many other improvements through the village. Yeah, so the rates are, you know, they're going to go up. It's inevitable. You know, we did a lot of comparison of rates and cost with what it would take to go to Central Brown versus Green Bay, how to get their source of water here. You know, and in the end, the municipal, maintaining the control with our own municipal well, you know, was comparable to the Central Brown option. It was a little less, and it also keeps us with our control, you know, of our rates and what we can do with our system going forward. We're not, you know, being told by somebody else, these are what your rate's going to be, and these are improvements that we need to make, so you're going to be, you know, left with all these extra factors that add to your rate. But, you know, what it means in terms of price, you know, our current rate right now is $418 per thousand, which is very reasonable. You know, I think we're probably one of the lowest rates in all of Brown County. But we haven't done a lot of improvements in a long time in our utilities, so that's a reason why we're still down at 418 and everybody else is at 678, you know, per thousand. So what that means is the rate right now with the 9.5 projected is it would be 738 per thousand. So your new rate on your, what you'll see on your bill, would be $7.38 per thousand. You know, if you take that and, you know, average is 14,000 gallons per quarter, if you factor that out, your bill before was about $293, a little bit over at $418. Your bill now, with the removal of, you know, the fixed rate that we had on for our debt service for the sanitary sewer charge that everybody saw for many, many years. So if we take that off, which it recently has been removed, your bill will now be just under $300. So really, it's a difference of about $10, we'll say, you know, because of the removal of that charge for the debt service that came offline, and then the addition of this now, your bill should go up about $10, you know, for water. So, you know, we're trying to keep it as least impactful as possible. It's a lot of money. It's a big project. Timing was helpful that we could get through the, you know, that debt service charge coming off for something else before we added this one on. So it should help, you know, a little bit from what people see on their invoices.
Fair to point out, though, that not everybody who has the public water has public sewer, correct? There are some people that just have...
Yep, so we have a mix of both. There's some, we have customers within the sewer service area that don't have either our water or our sewer. We have some with sewer and some with just water. It's a small percentage. It's declining over the years because, you know, some people do want public utilities to help service their properties, and we are also adding new sewer in certain areas, which is, you know, adding those water-only areas to sewer.
All right, so if I'm currently on a well, am I concerned about the village coming by and adding public water to me and I'll have to connect? Is that something that's been discussed?
I would say you don't have to worry. You know, it's really, since I've been around here and even for a long time before that, it's never been really the village's position to say, well, there's a road that's adjacent to water now, we're going to service that road. You know, we have multiple roads here that either have one utility or the other or none. I don't believe that it's going to be a change in the village's position that we're just going to start, you know, servicing developments with that don't have existing utilities, because that's a big undertaking. You know, you have an existing roadway that you now got to fit, or existing right of way, I should say, but with a new, you know, road, and there's a lot of disturbance when it comes to putting in new water and new sewer, you know, in a developed area already. So, you know, unless there's a dire need or there's a demand or, you know, people want it, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, and it's one of those questions that I get periodically, and it's difficult to answer, you know, future questions, because ultimately it's dependent upon the village board, and the village board can change. But yeah, in my experience, my understanding, we are not looking for extending into existing developments and adding more areas for water. This is going to impact vacant lots, and we'll get into a little bit about the main vacant lot that this is going to touch on. Where is this all happening, Andy?
This is all happening at 2185 Northwoods Road, which is adjacent to the Van Hoof and Northwoods Road intersection, just on the west side there. So if you're driving around and you go past it right now, you'll see a big drill rig out there. They did just complete the well, so the well is actually drilled now, but if you go out there, you may see some activity yet, but it is winding down with this phase of the project. It's a ranch house there that the village purchased 5 years ago or so with the intent, you know, that this would be a location that we could drill a new well, and everything has worked out so far. So, yeah, if it's right on the west side of the road at Van Hoof and Northwoods Road.
Yeah, so if we drive out there today, you'll see some action.
Yep.
But what is the total schedule? When are we looking to have this all completed by?
Yeah, I would say if in a hopeful schedule, the end of 2027, everything would be complete. So I kind of plan it that this year in 2025, we'd have just the drilling of the well, which is now complete, but now there's the test pumping and the analysis of the water, and then we have to do what's called a pilot test to make sure that the treatment option that we're picking in the HMO will actually treat and function, you know, as designed. All that information gets sent to the DNR for review and approval. So that kind of all would happen this year. I believe next year in 2026 would kind of be the facility, the building, you know, getting a lot of that stuff going. And then in 2027, I think, would be the bulk of the water tower construction. And again, all this stuff tied together, I don't think it's going to be complete till near the end of 2027.
All right, and I kind of want to go back to the rate projections and how that's going to impact folks on their water bill. The village is regulated by the Public Service Commission in terms of how it adjusts its rates, and there is a quirky rule that municipalities can't change their rates based on future expected expenses. So, you know, there could be an argument out there of, you know, why hasn't the village been slightly increasing the rates year over year, so there's not going to be this substantial increase once this project is completed. But the reality is, legally, we couldn't. And so we have to wait until these projects are completed to adjust the rates. So we're going through this process of, you know, do we have a slight increase in 2026 after some of this work is completed, or do we just wait until it's all done and then you adjust the rate? Right. So that's something that is still being discussed. And I'm sure the Public Works and Utility Commission will have a hand in that as we go through the budgets for 26 and 27. So if anybody has questions about, you know, why hasn't the village increased rates over time, well, that's the reason why.
Yeah, that would be, you know, considered the two-step process that the PSE would allow, you know, knowing the expenses that you're accruing for a project. And they have full information. You know, we can't do anything or get any approval to start any of this type of work unless the PSC does so. So everything that has been done so far and everything that's in the works yet goes through the PSC for every part of approval. You know, they give what's called a construction authorization for the project. You can't put any work in the ground until you get that CA or that construction authorization. So everything is submitted up front with the project as a whole. You know, they look at everything for your utility to make sure that you're even capable of, you know, funding something like this. They make sure that this project fits, you know, the village's needs. First of all, to make sure it's a warranted and needed project, because they don't let any utility that they govern, you know, just go ahead with things that don't make sense. So they do a good job on regulating all utilities for that matter. And, you know, they're the ones that give us the final approval to move on something like this.
All right. And then, if I'm a resident and I want to learn more about this project, is there somewhere that I can see some of the documents that you've been talking about and maybe some of the agendas or minutes from the Public Works and Utility Commission meetings? Where can I find that information?
Yeah, so everything's on our website. You can go under the For Residents tab. And at the very bottom, I think it's the last link on there. It's called the Water Utility Infrastructure Project. A whole bunch of information on there from, you know, things dating back to 2005 all the way up to current information. You know, reports, schedules, timelines, everything is found on there. Otherwise, feel free to give us a call here. We'd be happy to show you or walk you through it or take you out to the site if you want to see it. But yeah, just give us a call and we'll get you what you need.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy, for your time. That was a lot of great information. And again, if any residents have any questions, they can reach out, call the village, email one of us, or look at that information on our website. So thanks again for your time, and good luck with the rest of the project.
Thanks for having me.